Good morning, friends, and welcome to what we're calling a conspiracy of goodness, playing the songs and telling the stories and honoring people of America, Larry Long. Honoring people of America in their recording their songs and stories in their places that they call home, Brett Hughes. I'm Tom Thibodeau, and today we have the honor of honoring veterans.
Hop aboard that Delta Queen, head on down the Mississippi. Oh boy, what you gonna do now? Love her up and love her down, love her like a merry-go-round. Oh boy, what you gonna do now? Kiss her once on the lips, then with my fingertips. Skin so soft, skin so smooth. Now's the time to make that move. Oh boy, what you gonna do now? Take her out on a meal like Roosevelt with the New Deal.
Oh boy, what you gonna do now? Sound mighty good.
Bail out AIG, but who on earth's gonna bail out me?
Oh boy,
what you gonna do now? When the banker man comes to my home, where on earth will I go?
Oh boy,
what you gonna do now? Join the army, the marines, try to save me some money. Oh boy, what you gonna do now?
This summer, I received a very important and unexpected gift. A book came in the mail from a former student, John Armbruster. John was in class with me back in the 1990s in our graduate program in education. He also had a small farm at the time and would bring boxes of apples every year with his sons up to the place of grace, a sign of generosity and friendship that I will never forget. But this time he sent me a book that he had just completed that will be printed next April with a book signing in La Crosse. And it's the story of Eugene Moran, and the story is called Tailspin. John, one day sitting in his classroom in North Crawford, hears two men out in the hallway pointing across to a classroom of a colleague and says, "That woman in that room, her dad was a World War II veteran and fell 4 miles out of the sky from his plane with no parachute and survived." John was intrigued. After school, he went up to his colleague and said, "Is that true?" And she said, "Yes, but my dad won't talk about it. He won't go there. Maybe he'd talk with you." And so she introduced her dad to John. And as we were talking, he realized that this man had an amazing story, but he didn't want to push, he didn't want to pry. John sought counsel from his good friend and mentor, Ben Logan, who was living in Viroqua, and Ben said, "The man has a story to tell, and John, you're the person to tell it. But you know that farmers in the Driftless do not talk easily about themselves, so when you meet, talk about what he knows, growing up on the farm in Soldiers Grove, Wisconsin." And so thus began the journey on Thursdays with John and Eugene. Eugene drinking a Blatz, bringing out a Coors Light for John. And they would talk. And Eugene would explain what it was like growing up on the farm, using fresh water from the creek, not much electricity until later as he's growing up. And one day in 1938, Eugene is standing in the field and sees a plane going by, and he says, "I want to fly." When he turns 18, he hitchhikes to Madison, gets the papers for the United States Air Corps, comes back home. His parents sign the papers. He hitchhikes back to Madison, and he joins the United States Air Corps. Shortly after his training, Pearl Harbor is attacked, and Eugene is sent to England with his team in the Flying Fortress. In one of their first missions, they fly over Norway and bomb where the Nazis were trying to prepare heavy water for an atomic bomb. On a seventh flight out, they're attacked by the German Air Force, and Eugene's plane is downed. But the back part of the plane, the tail section, was blown off, and Eugene falls to Earth 4 miles, holding on to his grandmother's rosary, but he can't grab for the parachute. He lands. He has a concussion. His skull is busted open. He's captured by the Nazis, brought to a prison of war camp where 2 Serbian doctors provided brain surgery for Eugene and saved his life. While in that camp, the French kept Eugene alive by slipping into his bed at night and pretending they were Eugene and taking Eugene out to their quarters where they walked him around so he could gain strength, and then they also had homemade cognac. Eugene had all these wonderful stories, 18 months in a prisoner of war camp before they were saved by the Allies. He comes back to this country, marries the girl that he had left behind, and thus begins a life in Soldier's Grove, where he becomes a postman, delivering mail to the community, and then becomes the volunteer fire chief for 45 years. During that time, Eugene was instrumental in helping to begin the EMT program in Crawford County, in that part where people need to be helped, taken care of very quickly when they have an accident. A man who had given his life to this country could not help but come back and serve. During this time, as John's telling the story, his own wife is going through brain cancer. It's an amazing book filled of survival and survivors, dignity and grace, good people doing good work for a greater good. God bless Eugene Moran and all of his friends and comrades from World War II, whose sacrifices continue to ensure that we have the gift of life that we have today.
Catch a plane to Iraq. Sure hope I make it back. Oh boy, what you gonna do now? Go there once, go there twice. The next time I lose my life. Oh boy, what you gonna do now? Take a trip to Afghanistan, yes, to the border of Pakistan. Oh boy, what you gonna do now? Find Al-Qaeda, shoot 'em down. Fly back to my hometown. Oh boy, what you gonna do now?
You know, Tom, there's so many of these stories that don't get shared. There's so many veterans who seen combat who keep those stories held deep inside. And it takes a community of love and fellowship and family to help them feel comfortable in sharing those stories with others. While doing a collective writing workshop with Iraq and Afghanistan combat veterans in West Virginia, I met a man named Robert Rodriguez, a former Navy Seabee who was one of the first to go into Iraq during Desert Storm. Robert shared the following story with me that I put into song. Singing with me is gospel artist Tanya Hughes. It's called All Gave Some Gave All, and it goes out to all who have served in the wars since 9/11. losing control of my life, fighting with my kids and wife. In a moment, in a flash, I'm right back in Iraq. All gave some gave all gave some gave all. With mortars all around, my buddy hit the ground. Now I live with these nightmares more than I can bear. All gave some gave all gave some gave all. I don't want to medicate, nor can I wait to be safe, to be strong, to find some peace in this song. All gave some gave all, all gave some gave all.
Ooh, yes.
Sometimes I don't know what to do.
I don't know what to do.
Even when I hold you tight,
hold me tight.
Oh, I need your love tonight. All gave some,
all gave some,
some gave all,
some gave all,
all gave some,
oh, all gave some,
some gave all.
Years I've had the privilege of working at the VA in Tomo, Wisconsin. The VA in Tomo, where every day is Veterans Day. We have a program there on servant leadership, and anybody in the organization can apply and is accepted because we understand that everyone's service is important. If serving is beneath you, leadership is beyond you, and we recognize the service of our people who have served in this in the military, in our country, and have made all of our lives just a little bit better. One of the men who was in the program came to graduation, and we have a graduation where people talk about what they've learned in the process of the last 9 months. And this man came wearing a sport coat and a white shirt, and he had his testimony typed out. He was very sincere, very thoughtful. This was important. And he looked at me and he pointed and he said, "Damn you! Damn you! I'm a 2-time Vietnam vet. Infantry. And after what I saw and what I experienced, I said to myself when I came back, I will never feel again. I will never make myself vulnerable again. And I've shut off that part of my life. I have a family and I have children and I've done my job here faithfully for so many years. Damn you. Servant leadership stuff has opened my heart. I've been working here in custodial services for all these years, and I can make a floor shine where you can see a reflection in it. And I'm so proud of the good work that I do and the work that my colleagues do together. It's amazing. And one day, a month ago, I'm mopping a floor, and there's a veteran standing in his doorway. And generally, I just keep mopping my floor, but something within me changed. And I said, "Sir, are you okay?" And he looked at me and he said, "No, I'm not." He said, "My wife brought me here a month ago. I have COPD, emphysema, having a hard time breathing, and she couldn't take care of me. And she dropped me off, and I'm here by myself. And then I got word just 2 days ago that my wife died. Nobody's gonna come and visit me. I'm here by myself. I have no one." And he said, I put down my mop and I said, "Sir, would you like to talk?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "Let's go up at the nurse's station. There's a couple of comfortable chairs there." And we went and we sat as two veterans, two men who had served. And at the end of it, I shook his hand and I said, "Sir, would it be all right if I came to visit you each week?" He said, "Yes, please. I'd like that." Damn you. Damn you. Compassion is now part of my life again.
You know, Tom, roughly 241,000 people have been killed in Afghanistan since 2001. More than 71,000 of those killed have been civilians. American service members killed in Afghanistan up to April of this year was 2,448. Since the U.S. invasion of Iraq, roughly 200,000 civilians have been killed, and a total of 4,431 American service members. Since 9/11, the military suicides are 4 times higher than those soldiers killed in those two wars, and it's rising. Estimated interest costs by 2050, $6.5 trillion. As my roommate in college, Max Segris, said to me after returning from fighting himself in Vietnam, he said, "Larry, if you want to help the veteran, put an end to war." As Louis Armstrong said when introducing the song Wonderful World, "How about listening to old pops for a minute? It seems to me it's not the world that is so bad, but what we are doing to it, and all I'm saying is, see what a wonderful world it would be if only we'd give it a chance. Love, baby, love."
Watch them people scream and dance. Now's the time for romance. Oh, boy. What you gonna do now?
What you gonna do now?
Gonna love her up, love her down, love her like a merry-go-round.
Yeah.
Oh boy,
what you gonna do now?
Kiss her once on the lips, then with my fingertips.
Yes.
What you gonna do now?
Kiss me once.
Friends, thank you for listening to A Conspiracy of Goodness. Your presence makes all the difference. Until we meet again, peace and all good.
You have been listening to Conspiracy of Goodness with Larry Long and Tom Thibodeau, produced and recorded by Brett Hoos. For more information about Larry and Tom, please visit www.larrylong.org and www.tomttalks.com. We look forward to being with you next week. Thank you for listening.